you can take control of your situation and you can remain in control of it. You don't have to wait until something goes wrong to do something really, really right. And the benefit of that is that you just feel amazing every single day, no matter how old you are.
It's the Health in the Real World podcast. It's time to start the show with Chris Jahnke as your host. Here to give you everything that you need when it comes to fitness strategies. We keep it simple and easy. It's your roadmap to get healthy. You don't need equipment and you don't need a gym. Just the right strategies to get you fit and trim.
The Health in the Real World podcast is sponsored by...
Hi, I'm Chris Jahnke, host of Health in the Real World podcast. I love being healthy and fit, but sometimes I'm not a big fan of gym culture, if you know what I mean. You can be fit and trim without a gym. Text the word workout to 408-883-4442.
Hello and welcome to Health in the Real World. I'm Chris Jahnke and I'm joined today by Barbara Walsh. Barbara is a health coach, and we're going to get into some details about her story. Barbara, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So fill in a little bit more details. Give us your background as far as how you got into health coaching. This is a great story and something you can definitely help people with.
Okay. Well, I didn't start out as a health coach. I started out as a regular person. And one day I was kind of blindsided because I was given a breast cancer diagnosis. And anyone who's been diagnosed with breast cancer will tell you it's the most frightening thing that you'll ever hear. And at the time that it happened to me, I mean, everything was going great in my life. I thought I was taking care of myself. I mean, everything was just going really well. And then all of a sudden, it was like my life changed completely. And I went for biopsies, and I was diagnosed with the DCIS, which is really a stage zero precancer, as well as a stage one estrogen positive lobular invasive cancer in my breast. And so after the biopsy, I was sent immediately to an oncologist, and I remember asking the oncologist, you know, how did this happen to me? And the oncologist said to me, well, you know, I think it's just bad luck, luck of the draw. You know, maybe you have bad genes. But she said to me, but you look pretty healthy, so it probably was just bad luck. And I thought, that was a terrible answer. You know, I'm sure she meant well, but I thought to myself, it didn't instill confidence in me that, you know, by not knowing what caused it, that there would be an effective treatment for it. So I was given the standard treatment protocols, which every cancer patient is offered, which is surgery, radiation, and chemo. And because I was a hormone-positive cancer, they wanted to put me on a hormone blocker pretty much for the rest of my life. And, you know, I had pause about what was being offered to me, because when I thought about it, I thought, you know, a lot of these treatments are toxic, you know, and I've known so many people over the years who have gone through those treatments and didn't really have wonderful success. Some people, you know, got through it for a period of time and then had recurrences later in life. And then some people couldn't handle the treatments at all, and they were so devastating that they lost their fight and they lost their lives. And many of them did not really die from their cancer. They died from treatment, which is a tough thing to say, but it's really the truth. And so my husband asked the oncologist, because my head was spinning, really. And he said to the doctor, you know, if my wife does this protocol, will she be cured? And the doctor said to me, well, you know, there are no guarantees. You know, we'll consider your treatment to have been a success if you don't have a recurrence within 5 years. And so I thought about it, and I thought, you know, everything they're offering me, with the exception of surgery, is going to cause cancer, because chemo is a known carcinogen. Everybody knows that radiation is a carcinogen. I mean, even if you go to the dentist and they want to take a little x-ray of your teeth, you know, they put that big metal vest on you and the technician runs out the door before they hit the switch, you know, and we're talking about, you know, a little x-ray on your mouth. And those estrogen blockers, the one they wanted to put me on, is known to cause uterine cancer. So I thought, if I do subject myself to this and I do have success with the breast cancer that I'm facing right now, there's a pretty good bet I'm going to have recurrence in 5 years because I'm just going to continue subjecting myself to things that cause cancer. So I couldn't agree to those treatment protocols. And part of one of the major reasons why I couldn't agree to them was because when I was a kid, I was 13, I lost my dad to colon cancer. And I saw him go through all of those treatments, other except with the exception of the estrogen blocker, and he didn't make it. And that was pretty rough seeing as a kid. And at the time when I was diagnosed, I have a son. My son was 14. So it was kind of a little weird parallel going on. I thought to myself, you know, I really don't want my kid to see what I saw growing up. And I didn't want him to see me in that state. And then the other thing I thought to myself was, you know, if I go through the treatment protocols, I mean, there's a good bet I'm probably going to be sick for a good portion of that time. I mean, and I thought, well, 5 years, you know, that would be a terrible way to live for 5 years, you know, to maybe get to a point where I would be better. And then I started doing some research and I discovered that cancer doesn't crop up overnight. Most of the time, actually probably all of the time, cancer's growing inside of the body for like 10 years before anybody could even find it. And I thought to myself, this has been there for a while, but I just didn't know. And I thought, well, here's my options. I could go through this treatment protocol and I could be sick and I could be living a less than optimal quality of life through that time period. And I could have a recurrence after 5 years. And then what would I do? I would have to do something. I would have to do another treatment protocol. But what they don't tell you is that once you've had certain treatment protocols, later on, you can't have them again. Like when you go through radiation, the tissue in the body can't always support more radiation. So sometimes when people go through protocols and then they have recurrence, sometimes there comes a point where it's like, well, there's no more treatment options for you. So at that point, it's like, well, you have to kind of just get your affairs in order and, you know, live out the rest of your days kind of deal. Now, I know that probably sounds extreme because I hadn't really gone through my treatment protocol, but I started thinking that, you know, if I did absolutely nothing, which wasn't really an option, there probably would have been another 10 years of my life before the cancer that was in my body had progressed to the next stage. Right. So I thought to myself, well, I have 5 years or I have 10 years. So to me, it was sort of like a crapshoot, you know, especially because there were no guarantees that the treatment was actually going to help, you know, or work fully. Right, right. Like, so, and the other side of it was, you know, if I was going to live only 5 more years, I thought, I don't want it to be, you know, I don't want to be bald with my head in the toilet. Mm-hmm. I don't want my kid to see me, you know, waste away in front of his eyes. I just want to live, you know. So my husband and I are Christians. So we went home. I did a lot of prayer because I just couldn't agree to the treatment protocol that was being offered to me. And I thought, what the other thing that was frustrating was the fact that it was the same treatment protocol that my dad went through when I was 13. I mean, I'm not really good at math, but that was like 40 years ago, you know? And it was like they haven't done anything new, which I thought was kind of odd, you know? But anyway, I started doing a lot of research. I discovered, like I said, about the fact that, you know, cancer can be growing inside of the body for 10 years. The other thing I found, which was amazing, was that there's cancers going on in everybody's body all the time because of the cell regeneration process that we go through just from being alive, you know? And the difference between a person who develops cancer and one who doesn't is the power of their immune system. And my immune system was clearly compromised. I just didn't know it. I was like, I didn't know. I didn't realize for so many years that the way I had been living, choices that I was making, consciously or unconsciously, were contributing to the state that I had been in. And that's a rough thing to face, because it forced me to take a little responsibility for the state that I found myself in. But the other side of it was that, you know, it became a wake-up call that gave me the opportunity to make something different happen, you know? And so I discovered that in order to have a strong immune system, you got to feed it. You have to nurture that, and you have to nurture your body. You know, previously to this situation, I was, you know, your regular American woman eating your regular American diet of, you know, fast food, sugar, processed foods, caffeine, you know, to get through the day, but feeling pretty lousy most of the time. I can remember feeling exhausted almost all the time. And I never like put two and two together. And so the other side of that was, my whole life I was always battling weight gain, weight loss, yo-yo dieting. And at the time of my diagnosis, I had been just gone into menopause. And I was one of those lucky women who packed on the pounds that come with menopause, and I couldn't get them off. And so I decided that through my research, I was going to start to make some changes. So I found, you know, I found out about detoxing, and that was a huge thing for me, because I realized that through all the ways that I had been living and eating and feeding myself over the years, that I had a lot of buildup in my body that was, you know, contributing to inflammation, contributing to a compromised immune system, putting me in a ripe position to be the perfect candidate to develop cancer and probably a host of other chronic illnesses, you know. Right. And so the first order of business for me was to figure out how to do that. So that's what I did. I decided I was going to do a major detox. I did a lot of juicing. I did a lot of cleansing. I reset all my internal organs, because I thought I wanted to put my body in the best possible position that I could to battle, you know, the cancer that I had been facing. And part of the other reason why I had done that was I had also been investigating alternative herbal remedies for cancer that unfortunately aren't available in this country. And so my plan was, I wanted to go to this other country to try this protocol. And the reason why I wanted to do that was, through my research, I discovered this place, and I checked their website, and they had reviews from patients who had been there. And every patient left a phone number or an email. And so I thought, wow, how cool is that? Because, you know, like here, you know, you can't just go up to a patient and, you know, ask them, you know, and rightfully so. I'm not trying to, you know, be rude to somebody. But it's like, when you're in that situation, I mean, I wanted options. I wanted to know what my options were, right. You know.
It'd be nice to be able to call somebody who 8 years ago got treatment and see what was your experience like?
Yeah, for sure. And so I contacted this place, and I asked them, can I contact these people? And they said, sure. You know, if you want to contact them, go right ahead. So I contacted this woman who actually lives in Connecticut, and her name is Marie. And Marie had been to this place, and 20 years before me, she had been diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. And right there, that blew me away. Wow. Because I actually...
20 years.
20 years.
And this woman is still alive.
She's still alive. First,
just that alone, you're like, okay, this is a good sign.
Yeah.
Barbara. And what happened at that point?
Well, at that point, I started doing a ton of research. I discovered a lot of things that I never knew about cancer. And I also discovered that there were so many things that I could actually do proactively on my own. I discovered the power of the immune system and how critical that is to prevent cancer and to recover from it and actually recover from any illness. I discovered the power of nutrition that is the fuel for the power of having a strong immune system. I also discovered that everything that I thought about food and nutrition all the years I was growing up was completely wrong. But it also gave me the opportunity to make some changes. So I started making changes to my diet. I found out about the power of detoxing, and that was super important because of the immune system, because you know this, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners know this, that like 70% of the immune system is in the gut. So right. That means that if your gut's not working optimally, that means that you're set up for, you know, a whole host of problems, you know. So I wanted to do that. I wanted to detox. I also found out that there are, you know, herbal remedies out there that are actually really powerful, some as powerful as conventional treatments. And so I wanted to take advantage of that. I had found a place in another country that offered a protocol that wasn't available here. So I wanted to go there. But before I went there, I checked them out. And on their website, they had testimonials. And so I ended up contacting someone who left their phone number on the testimonial page. And this woman was fantastic. She was like a game changer for me. And even moving forward with what I was thinking of doing, because to be honest with you, when you're facing something scary like cancer, it feels like life and death, because it really is. And the idea of going against the grain is not well supported. And you even wonder to yourself, am I crazy, you know, even thinking about doing something else. But talking to someone who actually did it was a game changer for me. I contacted this woman. She had done alternatives and went to the same facility that I was thinking of going to 20 years before me. She had been diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. And that blew me away, because I don't know about you, I know a lot of people who have had cancer and who have gone through conventional treatments, and I don't know anybody who lived 20 years after a diagnosis.
Yeah. Especially yeah. stage 4. Mm-hmm. Like, she's right there yeah. knocking on death's door, and 20 mm-hmm. years later, she's still around.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, she told me all about her experience, and it was so inspiring. And the best part of our conversation, you know, because she wasn't trying to, you know, talk me into doing anything, she was just telling me her story. And at the end, she said to me, you know, if you're even thinking about trying this, she said, I want to encourage you with one thing, that you have a lot more time than, you know, the doctors might be telling you that you have, because there is a big rush, a big push to get you right into treatment, like immediately, before you can even think about, you know, what the ramifications of the treatment might be on your body moving forward, even after treatment ends. And so she said to me, you know, if you're thinking about it, it might be worth trying, because if you decide it doesn't work for you, you could always go back and get chemo tomorrow. They will sure. never, ever turn you away. And I thought, yeah, you know, that's really true. You know, it was true.
That's a good point. I think there's some wisdom to that too, about, you know, trying the least invasive potential solution, and, you know, the most natural potential solution. I mean, you're talking about nutritional changes and lifestyle changes. There are no side effects to juicing. You mentioned you did a lot of juicing.
Yeah.
No side effects to that. Like,
yeah.
Versus chemo, you know, yeah. like you said, a lot of people do get sicker from the actual treatment. And that's not a judgment. Like, you know, some people go that route. Cool. That's fine. I it's interesting to me. I don't want to spend too much time on this, because I really don't think it's that big of a deal, but you had to leave the country.
Yeah.
Because it's not, this treatment is not allowed here, right?
Correct.
Which yeah. seems very strange, because you know, I'm a fitness trainer. That's allowed here. You know, there are massage therapists that help your health. That's allowed here. There are acupuncturists, chiropractors, naturopathic doctors, all that is allowed in the you know, United States where there's freedom, and yet this one protocol was not allowed.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. This, you know, this protocol was not allowed here. And that's that, things like that. I'm only speaking about, you know, from my own personal experience. I don't want anyone listening to think I'm trying to influence you in any way, but anytime I hear that, where something's not allowed, like we don't even have the option to choose it, as long as we're within these borders, that puts up a big red flag to me. And then what that woman said to you, that 20-year survivor of cancer said to you about, like, well, you know, maybe you could try it and then you can always go back over here. She was not trying to railroad you into one side. Anytime I hear somebody talk like that, I go, okay, I'll listen to you, because I don't feel like you're trying to impose your dogma onto me, and you're respecting the fact that I do have a choice.
Yeah.
Because I do. No matter how much somebody tells you you don't have a choice, you always have a choice.
Absolutely. And that was what I was looking for when I was diagnosed. I just wanted options. I hated the fact that there were no options. It was just one way or the highway, basically, you know. And so she really inspired me. She just inspired me. So I thought, you know what, I'm gonna do this. And like you said, you know, there are no side effects. And that was something that really stuck with me through the process, even when I was changing my diet, because I'll be honest with you, going, you know, from a hardcore junk food junkie to, all right, we're going full bore, clean eating, you know, this is what we're doing now.
Right.
Sometimes that was hard. I'll be honest. It's not easy, especially when you're making a big shift. But, you know, when you're facing life and death, it puts things in perspective for you. And I would have days where it was tough, and I would always, always remind myself that, you know, this is never, eating more broccoli is never going to hurt me. Juicing right. isn't going to hurt me. And no matter what, even if this is difficult because I'm denying myself stuff that I was used to, it's never going to be as difficult as going through a treatment like chemo or radiation, you know.
What does your diet look like these days? And like, what was the juicing? Was it like a really intense juice protocol, and then you sort of transitioned into more of a maintenance thing, or how did that look?
Yeah. Initially it was pretty hardcore. It was a 30-day juice fast and detox that I did. And it was all whole foods based, you know, nothing weird, no prepackaged kind of pie in the sky thing. It was all based on food. And, you know, after doing that, I kind of transitioned back to, you know, eating solids. You know, mainly in the beginning, it was mostly vegetarian, you know, some proteins. And now that, I mean, as of January, I'm 6 years cancer free. I never really abandoned any of that. I have moments where, you know, I stray a little bit, but I always come back because I feel so much better when I eat that way. So now I do juicing, you know, every day. I use one meal is usually a juice, and then usually salads. I do a lot of, I've created my whole, a whole recipe book full of vegetarian creamy soups that are dairy free. I do that. Oh, nice. We do chicken, we do fish, we do a lot of quinoa, we do, broccoli. I love broccoli. You know, my husband does a lot of cooking, and every night he's like, what do you feel like having? And I'm like, can we have broccoli? It's become awesome. A running joke, but that's what it is, you know. So
you have a soup cookbook?
Well, I don't. It's not a real, it's my soup cookbook, but it's kind of has become that. It has become that. I should probably publish that.
You should publish that. Well, let me know when you do, and we'll put it out there.
Yeah.
I know, you know, gosh, this was 2008, maybe 7, 8. I was raw vegan. Like, I didn't even cook my food for a year and a half. And I was doing those juices. I was doing green drinks every day. Huge salad. Like, I was eating a salad as big as a football helmet.
Me too.
And it literally took me an hour to eat this salad. It was parsley, a lot of parsley, kale, which is a cousin of your friend broccoli.
Yeah.
And no meat. I didn't eat meat for a year and a half. my results, my personal results, I felt amazing. I can't even tell you how good I felt. I would sleep 4 hours, wake up ready to go. I felt like I don't need any more sleep. I don't want to sleep anymore. I want to get up. I want to move. And then secondly, parsley has this effect on the mouth, right? It cleans your breath, freshens your breath. And I 24/7 always, even when I woke up in the morning, I always felt like I had just brushed my teeth.
Yeah.
It was a really cool feeling. And I think I need to get back to that. That was very fun.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. And like through this whole process that I was transitioning, I think I told you earlier that when I was diagnosed, I had started menopause and I had gained a whole ton of weight that I just could not shake no matter what I did. Through this process, I lost 30 pounds. And, you know, I didn't tell a lot of people what I was doing because I guess I couldn't handle the negativity because I figured, sure, you know, this was my choice and, you know, be it as it may, I just couldn't handle having to defend that every day. So I didn't tell a lot of people, but people started noticing because I had all this amazing energy. I lost 30 pounds. I think I looked better and I felt better than I had in years, you know, and now I've kept that weight off, you know, 6 years later. And it's not even something that I have to try to do. I mean, it was like a bonus. Right. It was just a bonus. I mean, all the years I dieted and tried to get weight off and it would just bounce right back on, you know, off on, off on. That's over now, you know, because it changed what I do.
Exactly. Know? And because you're looking at the driver of that weight loss. And I think with the diet culture that we have in this country and probably a lot of other Western countries too, is they're focused on the results so much. They're focused on losing the weight so that even people who are at a reasonable weight, they're maybe not healthy because they're using those bars and the shakes to do it and all the added ingredients. So they're at a weight that's maybe ideal, but they're not healthy. So that poses one problem. Or you get people who are so obsessed with what the scale says that they forget that, no, that what you weigh and your percentage body fat and the amount of energy that you have is all a byproduct of being healthy.
Yeah.
And it's the being healthy that we need to focus on. And then there's like a thousand and one benefits versus, you know, so many of us are focusing on that one benefit of being skinny.
Yeah.
Being lean, you know, and it's really backwards. So I really do think that what you did is awesome. I mean, and like you said, you just keep the weight off without even trying because that's not the most important thing, right? It's really the health. Yeah.
And the most amazing thing through the whole process, like everything I did, I just progressively started feeling better and better and better. I knew that good things were really happening in my body. I could just tell because I felt so different, you know? And the whole time through the whole process, I kept thinking, why didn't I know any of this? Like, why didn't anybody tell me any of this? You know, I had no idea that there's so many things that you could do. I had no idea that you could take control of your health like that. You know, I had no idea that, you know, age-related diseases don't have to become inevitable, even if you're a woman in your 50s. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had no idea. And if I had, I am confident that I could have avoided cancer in the first place, you know?
Yeah. Well, better that you know now and you can go forward with your life. And
yes,
Barbara, I want to give you a chance. We're going to wrap up the show, but I want to give you a chance to give a motivational speech to, let's say, like a college graduating class. It's been a long day. And you are giving them a motivational speech, very big picture, very, you know, big principles about how you think they can get the most out of their lives. What would you tell those graduating from college?
I think I would tell people that not to wait. Don't wait. You know, I mean, I think for years you wait until you get to certain places in your life and certain levels in your life to do things, you know, and especially as far as health is concerned, I would tell people, you know, lots of times when you're young, you think, well, I'm invincible and I don't have to worry about that. And I'll worry about it later when it gets broken, you know, and I would tell you, don't wait. I would tell you, take the opportunity to really feed your body in a way that fuels your body so that you can feel amazing every single day, no matter how old that you are. And that's what I would tell people because, you know, like you were saying, people get kind of caught up in the prevailing mentality of, you know, let's say diet culture, of being, an all or nothing kind of a thing. I think it's more like you can take control of your situation and you can remain in control of it. You don't have to wait until something goes wrong to do something really, really right. And the benefit of that is that you just feel amazing every single day, no matter how old you are. And that's what I would tell people. Don't wait.
Awesome. Barbara, how do people get in touch with you? Website, social media, if they want to reach out to you or start working with you?
Sure. You can get me. I'm on Instagram a lot. @good_nature_wellness, Facebook @goodnaturewellness. My website is www.goodnaturewellness.com. And if you guys want to reach out to me, even by email, barbara@goodnaturewellness, reach out to me. I'm finishing up a really cool resource. It's sort of part of my story, which is 5 things I wish I had known before I was diagnosed with breast cancer. So if you want to reach out to me, I'll be happy to send that to you as a gift.
Perfect. Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much. Again, this is Health in the Real World. I'm Chris Jenke, joined today by Barbara Walsh, health coach. And Barbara, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me. It was really great.
To learn more.